Welcome to another episode of Musing. I'm Mrs. Musing, and I've given Mr. Musing the elbow. Today, let's learn about finding music and health. There are many ways in which you can find music. Increasing the ways in which you access music means you have more potential to use music to benefit your health. If you only have a few albums or songs that you always listen to, then there are only a few musical options for you to use. If you have lots of songs and albums that you like, then there are more musical options for you to use for a wide range of health needs. As mentioned in other videos, health is holistic and has many areas. Eventually, I'm going to get deeper into each of the specific holistic health areas. It will be helpful for you if you have a wide range of music to draw on when we start looking at each of those specific holistic health areas. So let's get finding. Here's a list of ways that you can find music. Listening to recommendations via a music streaming service or app. Looking through music-related websites. You can find your way to some obscure and quirky corners of the internet by doing a web search for your favorite band, artist name plus Blogspot, or Pitchfork lists, or Rolling Stone lists, going to a record shop, going to a charity secondhand or op shop, going to a music fair, do a web search for your nearest city name plus music fair, looking through stores online, signing up to music newsletters or social media notifications, TV. Do you have any Freeview satellite or cable music channels, or any that stream via the web? ch200.co.nz/watchlive is a good New Zealand example, and play.rtl.it is a good Italian example. Radio podcasts, including overseas radio, do a web search for Radio Garden. Two of my favourite stations are thesound.co.nz and 2XSFM. Looking at music charts, try a web search for name of your country, plus music charts or global music charts, plus Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, Billboard, Shazam, or SoundCloud, talking to a friend about music they like. Going to a festival or gig. Going to a nightclub or pub disco. How often do you try and find music in these ways? Could you try finding music in new ways that you don't often use?
Welcome, I'm Mr. Musing.
Oh, Mr. Musing, what are you doing here? Have you lost the elbow I gave you?
What is the most common method you use to find music? Is there a reason for this?
Typical ignorance. Answering a question with a question. Never mind. My main way to find music is through websites and YouTube. YouTube is great for finding obscure gems, as many of the uploaders are regular music fans rather than corporate committees pondering over what song might get the most views. I also subscribe to the website newsletters and Facebook pages of bands that I love. I find a lot of information about older artists through Blogspot pages, and I'm signed up for news updates with some online record stores. I'm always happy to visit a record store, but I don't do this as much as I used to, as there are a lot less of them around. I used to buy heaps of music from charity shops until a few years after CDs peaked. I find most charity shops now have very few CDs, and a very limited range of vinyl of the orchestral, cathedral, and smash hits of the 50s variety, which doesn't really have much appeal to me, or anyone else, seeing as they rarely depart their sales boxes. Another good thing about YouTube is that you get the visual as well as the audio, so you get to see the bands and artists in action, or you can listen to the music in isolation if you prefer, just so long as you have a good data plan, as all of those frames per second can chew very quickly through a limited data allowance.
Do you think you would be willing to have a go at trying to find music in some other ways? What ways?
I suffered deep trauma thanks to the now defunct music streaming service called Wardio. I subscribed to Radio and put together hundreds of songs worth of playlists, and then they went bust and I lost the lot. Very annoying, and I haven't paid for a streaming service since. I've got a free account with YouTube, and it looks like their music is going to be around for the long term, so I'll probably be paying for the ad-free version of YouTube in the near future. I can also see the benefits of a good quality algorithm that recommends new artists you might like and reminds you about songs you have long forgotten about. I have thousands of MP3 files on my hard drives, and I still have three functional. MP3 players, so it was hard for me to move away from that, although it's getting harder and harder to find new. MP3 players, so that's another reason why I will succumb completely to the smartphone streaming service in the near future.
What way of finding music do you most enjoy, and what is it about that way of finding music that you most enjoy?
I seem to be going to more and more gigs nowadays, probably because a lot of my favourite 80s and 90s artists are doing their final fling tours to top up their pension plans. I love music festivals, as you can accidentally come across bands you've never seen that blow you away. This happened for me when I saw The Mockers and Die. 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 Live. Although you sometimes come across bands that stimulate the desire for auditory analgesia, the vibes at a good music festival are hard to beat, and the sound quality is usually great. You always get a few idiots floating around, but the vast majority of festival goers are wonderful people. The best festivals are the ones with multiple stages, like Glastonbury. As if you don't like one thing, you can wander off to another stage, which feels very liberating.
Ask someone you know about the music they like and how they found this music. What did they say?
I know someone who is absolutely crazy about Ed Sheeran. Not my cup of tea. Sorry. This person emigrated to Aotearoa, New Zealand in the early 2010s and found Ed's music to be very soothing during a difficult time of transition. They heard his music on the radio to begin with, and then they listened to him over and over again via YouTube. This person listened to a lot of radio when they emigrated, as they emigrated from South America and hadn't been exposed to much Western music, which they wanted to learn more about. Over a decade later, radio and YouTube are still this person's main way of listening to music. And YouTube is also an easy way to find those lesser-known South American classics when they want to feel reconnected to their roots. Record stores are obviously great places to find music, but the record store is a critically endangered species thanks to the tsunami of music available on the internet. There are still a fair few record stores around, helped in part by the vinyl record renaissance. If you haven't experienced a record store visit, you should give it a go, as you can find some interesting gems. And talking to the record store staff can help you on your journey of discovery. Do a web search for record store plus name of your town or closest city. How close is your nearest record store? Go and visit if you can, and write down your experience and what you think you gained or learned by visiting a record store. If you can't visit, see if the record store has a website, check it out, and see if you can sign up for offers or newsletters. And or, go to your nearest charity, secondhand shop. Do they sell any music? What did you think of the selection? It might all be terrible, but there's usually something of interest amongst the detritus. My nearest record shop is Low Cost Records. Interestingly, there is an old news story about the store which says they source some of their records from secondhand stores around the region. So what I said about charity shops can be worth exploring. I love this shop as it is maximalist, with records covering every square inch of the store space, including the walls. I've been into some record stores which are minimalist, and that felt very wrong for some reason. I think it's because you stand out more as an individual customer, and I like to get lost in a sea of vinyl and music ephemera, flicking through racks of vinyl that stretch off into the distance in all directions. Low-cost records sell CDs as well as vinyl and band merch, including the t-shirt essentials, which I like. Some record stores become purist, only selling vinyl, which I think is a shame, as limiting the formats for sale could also limit the range of available music. Also, CDs can now be very cheap, whereas the cost of vinyl is becoming slightly outrageous. Low-cost Records doesn't have a dedicated website, but my favourite London record store Sister Ray does, as well as a blog and a newsletter you can sign up to. In my youth, I discovered a lot of lesser-known bands and artists that I loved there, including Credit to the Nation, Ned's Atomic Dustbin, and the Sugar Cubes. Another worthwhile exercise is doing a web search for Record Store Day. Have a look at what is being released this year. Also look at the archives to see what has been released in recent years. RecordStoreDay.com and Discogs Record Store Day webpages are good sources of information. Do a web search for Record Store Day plus name of your closest city. Are there any events planned near you? Or can you sign up for newsletter updates? I couldn't see any planned Record Store Day events near me, but I'll have another look closer to the date. It's usually at the back end of April. I discovered that NME.com have very comprehensive lists of Record Store Day releases by year. When I buy vinyl now, I have a tendency to look for picture discs, as I am buying vinyl for collectability rather than for listening purposes. And picture discs can look good displayed as art pieces on the wall. Record Store Day picture discs that take my fancy include 17 Seconds, The Cure from 2020, Weapon of Choice, Fatboy Slim from 2021, and Zeitgeist, The Levelers from 2022. Another good way to find music is to rifle through album cover art. You can do a web search for 100 best LP covers of all time and choose the covers of 10 albums that you have never listened to before. What appeals to you about the art? Listen to the music of the album and then ask yourself, did the music live up to the promise of the artwork? You could then score the art and music out of 10. After you've done all that, reflect on this exercise. Is it an interesting way to find new music? How likely is it that you would do this again? Maybe you could search for top 10 LP covers of the last year next time. If you are on the younger side of life, you might be asking yourself, what the hell is an album? Well, before streaming, music was commonly released and sold as albums, also known as long players, or LPs. The first shock there is probably the word sold. But yes, in decades gone by, we had to pay for each individual music release. So please be grateful for the luxury of free streaming music in your life. Albums were vinyl physical discs, a few millimeters thick, that were usually 12 inches wide. You needed a record player to play these discs, which was a device that rotates the disc and plays the music via a needle that you had to carefully place on the disc. These discs contained a collection of 10 or 12 songs, lasting around 45 minutes in total. Singles were usually the best two or three songs from the albums, released as individual tracks on 7-inch discs. Track is another word for song, as the discs contained grooves from which the music could be read. And these grooves were technically known as tracks. Singles usually also had one backup song, which could be a remix, instrumental live track, an additional album track, or completely new bonus cuts. Cut is yet another word for song. The phrase cut is sometimes used to refer to a song because the music is cut into the vinyl material of a record in the form of grooves and tracks. Singles usually also have their own cover art, but single cover art is usually less impressive than album cover art. The backup song was usually pressed into the flip side of the disc, with the main song being the A side of the disc, and the bonus song, or two, being called the B side of the disc. Albums were usually played at 33 disc revolutions per minute, abbreviated to RPM. half of the 45-minute album was recorded on one side, and the other half of the album was recorded on the other side. The 12-inch size gave the album cover artwork the best chance to breathe and be appreciated, as 12-inch was usually the largest format size for a music release. Albums could also be released as tape cassettes that had at least 23 minutes of tape playing time on each side of the cassette. When compact discs or CDs appeared, the potential playtime went up from around 45 to around 79 minutes, which some artists made full use of, and some didn't. CDs and tape cassettes are much smaller in size, and the cover artwork can get very awkwardly squished with those formats. Singles, those individual songs from albums, which usually pressed on 7-inch wide vinyl records, were played at 45 disc revolutions per minute, RPM. Although in the very olden days, the records were around 10 inches big and were played at 78 revolutions per minute. Also, from the late 1970s up to the mid-1990s, most singles were also released as 12 single 45 revolutions per minute records, which usually comprised of a double-length remix of the single song, with extra bonus tracks which were usually, but not always, different to what was available on the 7-inch single. Mind blown. Anyway, now that I have fully educated you, here is a list of the 10 albums that caught my eye. 1. No Agreement by Fela Kuti and Africa 70. I would give the art 9 out of 10 and the music 7 out of 10. Fela Kuti was a true legend for Nigerian emancipation, and the cover art tells a lot of this story. The groovy, jazzy music is great, but it is quite repetitive, so it gets a 7 from me. But if this was a 7, 10-minute track, I would give it 8, 9 out of 10. Overall, the music does live up to the promise of the artwork, and I'm interested in listening to some more of Fela's works. 2 Cuckoo by Debbie Harry, I would give the art 8 out of 10 and the music 5 out of 10. The first solo album by the Blondie-led singer has artwork by H.R. Geiger, the designer of the creature from the 1979 classic sci-fi horror movie Alien. The cover art made me think that the music would be industrial, foreboding, or aggressive, but actually it was just a heavily diluted form of Blondie's musical style. Debbie herself wasn't a fan of the artwork, so that explains the Disconnect 3, In the Court of the Crimson King by King Crimson. I would give the art 7 out of 10 and the music 8 out of 10. The art is actually pretty ugly, but it is very interesting and made me wonder if the music would also be as interestingly confronting. The album is actually very good at making you feel like you are being taken on an interesting journey. The guy on the outer cover is the Schizoid Man, who is the subject of one of the tracks. Artwork of the Crimson Kings is on the inner sleeve, and whilst he isn't so shocking to the eye, he definitely makes up for it with high levels of creepiness for Wow Grape Jam by Moby Grape. I would give the art 7 out of 10 and the music 6 out of 10. This album is a bit quirky, as it came in two parts that could be bought as one part, and it includes one old style track on the album that you need to play at 78 RPM. It's the cover to Wow that attracted me, as it looks like something Dali might have painted, and I like Dali's works. And the cover suggested to me that the music might be quirky and unique. The album is okay overall, but it's disjointed stylistically. And it didn't really impress me much. 5 10 out of 10 by 10cc. I would give the art 9 out of 10, and the music 4 out of 10. The album art gatefolds out to show an inside-out apartment lived on the ledge as the sun is setting. I thought this looked really cool, and it sent a message to me that the album might be about how hard it is to live in painful circumstances when the world around you seems to be getting along just fine and dandy. I'm sorry if you are a 10cc fan, but I found this album painfully bad. I think I'll leave it at that. 6. Warehouse Songs and Stories by Husker Du. I would give the art 8 out of 10 and the music 7 out of 10. The cover art shows what looks like a Greek-themed rooftop garden, possibly with artificial plants that have technicolor illumination. That made me think that the music might be very varied and creative. I like Husker Du type music. They sound like an annoyed REM. But Husker Du themselves have never really got me excited. This album is good, and I'll go back to it again at some point, as I think it could be a grower 7. Dirty Computer by Janelle Monae. I would give the art 9 out of 10 and the music 8 out of 10. The art suggests that Janelle is hiding something, something that involves a positive kind of special energy, given the sunset ambience and halo sun shining behind her. The album reflects this. Music about the potential of a futuristic, positive, uplifting society that moves beyond fear and repression to celebration of diversity in identity and sexuality, 8. Relayer by Yes, Art. I would give the art 8 out of 10 and the music 4 out of 10. The artwork looked like an imposing fantasy ice cavern, and I wondered what kind of music this image was trying to represent. Unfortunately, the album sounds like an endlessly meandering guitar jam or demo session to me. Sorry, Yes fans. I wonder what this would have sounded like if they had taken on Vangelis for this album. Instead, they went with Patrick Mraz after Rick Wakeman left the group. 9. Nothing's Shocking by Jane's Addiction. I would give the art 9 out of 10 and the music 9 out of 10. The cover to this album is pretty tongue-in-cheek, given the title. Two naked conjoined women with their hair on fire, sat on an oddly orientated floating rocking chair, is a bonkers image that definitely got my interest. The music is great. It sounds fresh, urgent, lively, and sophisticated. I would love to see this played live, but their breakup makes that prospect unlikely 10. Long. Live Ace Ape by ASAP Rocky. I would give the art 8 out of 10 and the music 8 out of 10. This one got my attention as the television interference static suggests that the state of the union is somewhat less than perfect. The language is definitely R18, but the lyrics describe the pain and dysfunction that comes with living in close proximity to the urban currents of drugs, violence, poverty, and racism. The hip-hop rap music is very cool, varied and interesting, and at times it feels like a fever dream. Rakim is a very talented artist. Overall, I'd say this has been a worthwhile exercise, as I scored the music of 6 of these 10 albums, which I had never heard before, as a 7+. 7 equals sign pretty good, and maybe that score could go up with more listens. This exercise has prompted me to go and explore more of the music of King Crimson, Husker Du, Jane's Addiction, and ASAP Rocky. Next, ask a friend to make a playlist of songs that they think you will like. This should be a list of songs that they think you have never heard before. Then, do the same for your friend. My friend knows that I like new wave, punk, and dance music, and he thought I might not know these often overlooked, but pretty good genre-related songs. Number 1. Never Take Me Alive by Spear of Destiny from 1987. Number 2. Alternative Ulster by Stiff Little Fingers, an anthem for having nowhere to go and nothing to do when you get there. Number 3. Barbie's Dead from the outrageously prolific UK subs. Just Don't Tell Ken. Number 4. Du Hast by Rammstein translates to You Have in the English version. Number 5. You Often Forget by the highly eclectic Revolting Cox. Number 6. I Don't Wanna Be Me by chronically overlooked Type O Negative. Number 7. If You Leave by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, which was the curtain dropper for the Pretty in Pink film. Number 8. Das Boot by U96, which unbelievably spent 13 weeks at No. 1 in the German pop charts in 1992, number 9. Sonic Empire by the also German Ravelords, members of Mayday number 10. The Telephone Call by Kraftwerk. You may have guessed by now that the friend who made this playlist is German. And here is the playlist I made for my friend. Like me, he is also a fan of New Order, but he isn't quite as obsessed with them as me, so he isn't aware of all of the New Order-related spin-offs, so I made him this playlist. Number 1. Sink or Swim by Bad Lieutenant, featuring 3 members of New Order. Number 2. Happy Jack by Monaco, Peter Hook's most successful side project. Number 3. From Safety to Where by Joy Division, who morphed into New Order after Ian Curtis's death. Number 4. Higher Than a Skyscraper by Hybrid, supported by Hookie's very moody bass playing. Number 5. Free Fall by Electronic, comprising of Bernard Sumner and the Smiths' jangly Johnny Marr. Number 6. At a Later Date by Warsaw, the precursor to Joy Division. Number 7. 1963 by New Order, the B-side that became the A-side. Number 8. Little Pig by Revenge, another Hooky spin-off that requires multiple repeat listens to be fully appreciated. Number 9. Killswitch PT-141 by Freebase, the bass player supergroup that took ages to get going and then abruptly and sadly ended. Number 10. Unwanted by the Other Two, Gillian Gilbert and Stephen Morris's marital merging. This was an interesting exercise for both of us. I think I could become a UK subs fan now, and my friend was pleasantly disturbed to learn about the full range of New Order spin-offs. And now let's reflect on a few classic thought-provoking quotes about music. To start with, here is Hans Christian Andersen, Danish fairy tale author from the 1800s, who said, "Where words fail, music speaks." Next up, here's American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, also from the 1800s with his truism, "Music is the universal language of mankind." Alphonse de Lamartine, who yet again was from the 1800 AS, and was also key to the foundation of the Second French Republic, said, "Music is the literature of the heart. It commences where speech ends." Thomas Fuller from the 1600 S, who wrote The Worthies of England, which was a catalogue of the entirety of the ins and outs of English communities, summed up the focusing power of music by telling us that music is nothing else but wild sounds civilized into time and tune. And finally, here's Frederick Delius, an English composer from the early 1900 AS, who gave us the powerful quote, "Music is an outburst of the soul." Now it's time for a quick story. Derek Paravicini was born prematurely in 1979 in London. Derek lost his sight due to an overdose of oxygen in the incubator, which also affected his brain development, leading to severe learning disabilities. Although Derek had the unique ability to accurately reproduce music on the piano he had heard just once, Derek could transform any melody he heard into elaborate compositions without ever seeing a piece of sheet music, and he played his first public professional concert at the age of 9. However, Derek's learning disabilities meant he struggled with daily tasks and required constant care. As Derek grew older, his fame spread. He gave concerts in prestigious venues, including the Royal Albert Hall. He is a great inspiration for disabled people everywhere. Now, let me share with you my top 10 playlist of music I found in less conventional ways, with examples of how I found these songs. Number 1 is Unconsoled by Therapy. I came across this track on the 2006 One Cure Fits All album as I was exploring Therapy's back catalogue when I became a fan. Number 2 is Petrol Station Flowers by Skin. I was a big Skunk Anansie fan, so I was also a keen follower of Lead Singer Skin when she started her solo career. This song was a B-side to her 2006, Just Let the Sun single. Number 3 is Second to None by Electronic. If you've been paying attention, you will know that I am a big New Order fan. Lead singer of New Order, Bernard Sumner, formed a spin-off group called Electronic, with the Smiths guitarist, Johnny Marr. This song was a B-side to the 1991 Feel Every Beat single. Number 4 is Comeuppance by Thousand Yard Stare. I read about Thousand Yard Stare in the NME, New Musical Express, the UK's weekly alternative music newspaper. I decided to gamble away a few hard-earned shekels on this 1991 single when it appeared in the bargain bin at the local music shop. Any store that sold hard copy music, pre-MP3s and pre-streaming would also have a bargain bin, where music that hadn't sold very well was plonked and sold at a heavily discounted price. Bargain bin purchases had a high risk of buyer's regret. But buying Comeuppance was one little gamble that really paid off, as I still love this song over 3 decades later. Most charity shops still sell previously loved CDs, representing a small echo of potential bargain bin-like joy. Number 5 is Short Dick Man by 20 Fingers Feet, Gillette. This was a global hit in the 1990s, but has since been largely forgotten thanks to the fairly risque lyrics. I came across this song because I was working in HIV nursing at the time, which meant I got to listen to a lot of gay club music, and this song was quite popular amongst that crowd. Number 6 is Maybe by Op Shop. This song was a hit in Aotearoa, New Zealand in 2007, shortly after I emigrated there from the UK. I guess that means this song isn't that obscure, although it is to the rest of the world, and Op Shop haven't really received much post-breakup airplay, which is a shame, because this is a cool song. The lesson for music hunters here is keep your ears open to music from other nations, as there can be some brilliant stuff floating around that never breaks through to the global music scene. Number 7 is Altanis Orbit Gemlik Bass by David Bergeau. This instrumental is from the soundtrack to the PS2 Ratchet & Clank video game. It's a really cool, groovy, moody little number and punches well above its weight for what is meant to be a bit of wallpaper background music. Number 8 is Navigate the Seas of the Sun, a solo release by the lead singer of Iron Maiden, Bruce Dickinson. I'm a big fan of most of Iron Maiden's discography, so I also had a listen through Bruce Dickinson's solo back catalogue, which I found to be surprisingly good. This song is from his 6th album, released in 2005, called Tyranny of Souls. This LP track goes to show that it's worth exploring the sideways catalogues of musicians that we love. Number 9 is Tangaroa by Tiki Tani. This storming track is from Tiki's first 2007 album Past, Present, Future. I first heard it on an Aotearoa New Zealand TV dance music show on the now-defunct C4 music channel. Tangaroa is a really awe-inspiring sonic statement. Number 10 is Hooked by 99th Floor Elevators featuring Tony DeVitt. Again, I came across this as a result of working with the gay community as a HIV nurse. So many brilliant songs like this appeared in the mid-1990s. Sadly, Tony didn't get to live long enough to benefit from the newly emerging antiretroviral medicines of the time. He was amazing. Hopefully, my experience has inspired you to also have a go at making your own top 10 of songs that represent songs that you found in less conventional ways. And finally, to wrap us up for this episode, I wanted to let you know that you can buy a printable PDF of all of the musing finding exercises I've discussed from my Etsy shop, the link for which is in the show description details. I'd be incredibly grateful if you would buy a copy of this PDF to support the hours of work I put into pulling this show together. I also want to play you a sample of a song I cooked up, which I think gives a feeling of inspiration and hope. that reflects the feeling of searching for positive things, like new music we could love. It's called Open Up. Please support my work by buying the full-length version of Open Up. You can find the link for this in the show description details. Until next time, I wish you the best of musical health and keep on rocking and a-rolling.